The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, 10 minutes after 7 o'clock here on WPHM, with the number of coronavirus cases on the rise across the state of Michigan. I think last week when Governor Whitmer gave her press conference on, I think it was on Thursday, a lot of people speculated she was going to be announcing, a return to lockdown. She did not. She instead asked for the legislature to work with her on at least encouraging, maybe issuing a mandate for mask wearing across the state of Michigan. That has not yet happened. We wonder if that's going to happen locally. Joining us right now is St. Clair County's medical health officer, Dr. Annette Mercantant. Annette, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. I know we talked about this a while back. Any thought of any sort of orders locally to whether it's wear masks or socially distance or whatever you might think might help stem the number of coronavirus cases?
Well, we did reissue an advisory last week that reiterated the fact that there already is a mask order and there already is an occupancy order. And if people complied with that, there would, in fact, there is no need to reissue orders that have already been issued at the state level. The question is, do you issue stricter orders than that? Do you order locally and stay at home or closures of businesses, et cetera, just at the local level? And I can tell you, I don't think it would work. We can. The real question is, should we? Mm-hmm. Should you? So what would be the point of doing that? Obviously, it would be to try and stem further transmission. And most local health departments consider those kinds of things a little futile if you don't do them at the very least regionally and or statewide, because people don't work in St. Clair County. They don't always go to school in St. Clair County. So doing something just locally would not likely to have a profound effect. I can tell you there'd also be more than likely some pushback legally, and there's concern that we want to make sure that the public health code is robust and useful and doesn't get whittled away by extraneous lawsuits. It's a very good public health code, and I think very important to have at hand, so we don't want to use it frivolously. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to use something and then end up having it not help, and on top of that, have it backfire and cause problems down the line. So what we're looking at is number one, I think as cases go up, more and more people are going to know more and more people who are ill, and it's going to become harder to do things because there literally will just be more people who are affected. And that will, I think, in itself bring to light the need to continue to do our thing, the need to wear masks and the need to not be together in close quarters, especially as it gets cold. We got to avoid getting groups of people together indoors.
Right.
It's just a recipe for disaster. And then the health department will focus on enforcement and orders that focus on non-compliant issues that are resulting in outbreaks, problem areas, hotspots. And we have done that already. We have issued orders when we get kind of pushed up against the wall and we think we really need something. So that's going to be our approach in the near future. And like always, as things change, we'll reevaluate what we got to do and, just keep on plugging along.
What is the reporting mechanism if somebody knows of a place that is, maybe having too many people gathered indoors and they just don't feel comfortable with, a particular establishment's protocol for COVID? Is there a reporting mechanism?
Yeah, it would be us. It's the health department. So you can send it in that COVID-19@stclaircounty.org. You can give us a call at 987-5300. We have a hotline, which I always forget the number of. I apologize. And all of this is on our website. We are also, I think if we don't have one, getting ready to have kind of an electronic submission. So we get these complaints. every single one of them we evaluate. We give the place a call. Oftentimes we'll send a person out, take a look. If it's a licensed facility and it's a valid complaint, we forward that up to the State Licensing Bureau. Laura, they have MyOSHA has a hotline as well, a complaint line, and we follow through with them. And if they become compliant, we win. If they don't become compliant, we need more complaints, because I'll be honest with you, it's not like I have a SWAT team out there, you know, driving around checking on people.
Yet.
It's all we can do to even follow up on the cases that we have. I just want to say one thing. I think I brought it up last week, but we are not able to call every person who's been diagnosed.
Yeah.
We've been off of that now for over a week. So if you get diagnosed with COVID or you know you've been exposed to someone with COVID, it is on your shoulder. You need to make the decision to not go to work, to not go to school, to stay home for it's 10 days if you're sick, 14 days if you're exposed. People have to do that, and that's going to be a hard one. People have to just do it, because there isn't going to be any quarantine police out there knocking on your door reminding you what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's incumbent on all of us to make sure that we do all that we can to not further spread COVID-19. What about in schools, Annette, as we see the number of cases rise? I know school officials have got to be consulting with you, and you've got to be giving them some advice when it comes to whether or not to keep schools open. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's hard. You know, obviously, there's lots of pressures on schools. You know, parents want different things, but we do know that there is the best place for kids to be is in school. For many, many kids, it is really just crucial that they get in-person learning. Without it, a lot of things go wrong. So we want to do everything we can to keep kids in school. On the other hand, there are a lot of factors that may make that not possible on an ongoing basis. And one of them would be staffing. Quite honestly, it's not just the kids that are important to keep safe. It's teachers and staff. And quite honestly, some of our schools are struggling to get even subs in, right? So there's the operational component of it. As this pandemic explodes, there's going to be periods of time where we all have to just hunker down again. And that's just going to be a reality. And then the other side of the coin with the kids, and I brought this up in my op-ed, is that, you know, we watch very closely to see what the numbers look like, what the outbreak looks like. And if it doesn't appear that there's transmission going on within the school, the kids are getting their infections from home, from extracurricular stuff, then what's the point of closing down the school? If the school's as safe, if not safer, than everywhere else, why wouldn't we try and afford them the benefit of being in school?
Right.
So those are the two factors we look at, the risk-benefit ratio, and then just the actual operational ability to do things. And it's going to be true for businesses as well. You know, there's going to be a point where too many of your workforce are sick or out. And then you got to get into this tough decision. Okay, I'm not sick, but I'm quarantined. Should I work? And I keep going back to the answer is no. Please consider that very carefully. We do have criteria for what we call essential workers, healthcare workers, first responders. They've always been allowed to work even though they've been exposed, as long as they're not sick. And we like to back that up with testing if we can. But we all know that the reality, as I mentioned this earlier, Paul, that there are some people out there, probably a fair number of y'all, who you have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're officially considered an essential worker by the government or not, you have to work. And so those are tough choices. And we just ask people to make those choices very, very carefully. And if you know you've been exposed, do everything in your power not to expose other people during that 14-day period. And that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, that is exactly what it's going to take. We got to all do our part. And I always appreciate your insight, your advice, your information. We'll check in again real soon, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.